Take your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. And aren't you glad you live in America?
Amen.
Amen. We're thankful for our country and thankful for its founding, and we give God the glory for that. But this morning I want us to look at some things and look about how should we view America and how do we view, most importantly, its founding. We would look at the founding of our country, and some would say, well, the Bible was influential. History books tell us, yes, that some of the founding fathers were Christians. Some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were preachers. And this morning, we're going to take a little walk through history and through the Bible, and a message entitled, God and Country. As the saying goes, when we say God and Country, you know, this was a term coined in Britain, going to serve God and country or king and country, but also is used in America. And what it's used to is when a nation goes to war or a nation has and this armed forces serves for a certain purpose, they go to serve God and country, meaning that they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but also they're fighting for their country because those duties do not conflict. And this morning, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 1, and we see in our bulletin this morning that there's a verse given there, righteousness exalteth the nation. And we're going to look at the founding of our country and how we should view that and why it should change how we view our nation today. We view our nation very much as a secular society, as a nation that has religion in it, but is not a Christian nation, was never founded as a Christian nation. But we're going to look at what history says and out of the mouths of our very founding fathers this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1, if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read the first four verses, and then we're going to go over to chapter 2 and read the first three verses. And here we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now let's look over at chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And this morning I want to submit something to you, that we know our nation's in trouble, but one of the very pillars of our founding, the history regarding its founding, is trying to be destroyed. It is on fire. And this morning, we're going to look at the true history today. And I'm going to ask and hear a little bit. We're going to take a little poll of some things, of some thoughts that we believe to be true concerning the founding of our country that simply are not. And we'll also look at the Word of God this morning. But let's take a moment and ask the Lord's blessing as before we continue this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for our country and our nation. Lord, as Nehemiah was concerned for the nation of Israel, Lord, that we would have the same concern. We would have the same brokenness. We would have the same humbleness. We would have the same prayer. And Lord, that we would want to do something about it. That we want to stand up and preserve the freedom in our nation, preserve the history of our nation, and preserve the heritage of our land. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God and country. Now, some might say that the founding of our country, that some of them were Christians, that our nation was, but it was not founded as a Christian nation. It was simply a political move? But is this the truth? Well, after this morning, we can confidently say, from what's going to be presented this morning, we can say with confidence that God founded our country. Now, some people say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me ask a question. This is where the poll comes in. Now, don't be afraid to answer, but I want to illustrate something this morning. So how many people were taught in school that the United States of America was not founded as a Christian nation? Raise your hand. You were taught that it was not founded as a Christian nation. Okay, a couple people. Now let's ask another question. Now, that's a pretty recent thing. Now, how many people would say, well, Christians help influence the founding of our nation? You were taught that. It was influential. A couple people. Okay, it was influential. Now, how many people would say, well, the Bible was an influence on the framing of our freedoms? It was, it was something consulted along with other things. So who would say that it was an influential part of the founding of our country, the Bible? You said it was an influential part. Okay. Now, how many of you were taught or have heard or believe this, that the minority of the founding fathers were Christians? The minority, but the majority of them were deists or Gnostic. A deist meaning that they believe in God but nothing else. A Gnostic, they believe that God is a great clock winder of the universe, but God does not intervene in the lives of men. Benjamin Franklin was an example that people give of this. So how many people that you believe have been taught that Benjamin Franklin was just a deist? He was not a Christian. How many believe that he was not a Christian? Okay. Now, how many of you were taught that the majority of the founding fathers weren't practicing Christians, but that were deists? How many were taught that? Okay. Some of you were taught that. Now, how many of you believe or were taught that majority of the founding fathers were Christians and were saved? Ah, very good. Have a Christian upbringing. Very good. Well, I'm going to illustrate some things for you this morning. Because the fact that Benjamin Franklin was a deist and was not saved is not true. Now, for most of his life he was, but in his final years, he got saved. I'll read his eulogy that he wrote himself in a moment. Now, some people say, what, pastor, really? Yes. And these people, but he has given us a prime example. See, you don't have to be a Christian and be a founding father. That is given in all of our textbooks today. Well, what are we getting at? Well, God has a promise of liberty. God founded our country on one simple fact, and we'll illustrate this in a moment. It is not the will of God for man to be bound and without liberty. It is not God's plan for that. All through the Bible, it speaks of how God wants us to have spiritual liberty because sin binds a man. Because of the sin of man, man is bound by the fetters of sin. Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. Those who live in sin and would have sin in their life and live by sin, they are bound by their own sin. It is a chain and a prison for them. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 22. Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. But is that what God's will is? Is it that what God's will for us is? No. He wants us to be free from sin. We looked at that in Sunday school a little bit, but 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It is the plan of God, it is the will of God, for man to be free spiritually. And this morning is the source of the true liberty of any nation. Freedom without spiritual life will result in a degenerate society. We people view the freedom of America so that I can go do what I want. I can live as a homosexual. I can live and do anything I want. They view freedom in the light that it was not intended. We need to look at freedom and liberty in light of the Bible. And that we are not have our religious freedom infringed upon. And something important to illustrate. That in America, we have freedom. However, people take that freedom and it is abused to do things which are wicked and sinful before God. This was not the intention of our founding fathers. This was not the intention of those that founded our country. July 4th is the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Yes, it was the signing of a defiant, rebellious fist in the face of Britain. How many people were taught that's how it was taught? That's not true at all. They did not, our founding fathers did not want to go to war. They did wanted to separate peacefully. Now, how many of you here have actually read the Declaration of Independence the whole way through? The whole thing. Okay, so I encourage you to read it. And by the way, what they give you in the textbook is not the whole thing. Because the whole Declaration of Independence goes through all the offenses of why they were doing this. And there's a lot of things. You know why we wanted to be independent from Britain? Because the King of England was coming and was burning the farms, was murdering people, and were trying to oppress the colonies at different places. And there was a whole list of offenses. It wasn't over taxation without representation. That's what is always portrayed. That was part of it. But there was many other things that were there. And they saw the moral obligation under God to live as free people, that it was their right given to them by their Creator. But these people weren't Christians. This is what we're taught today. If I would have some of the kids that come from public school and do that poll, most of them would raise their hand. Oh, yeah, we're not a Christian nation. Some of the founding fathers were Christians, but majority were just deists. That is not the truth. Freedom without spiritual life will result in a degenerate society. Just by making a person politically free does not mean that they will flourish as a nation. And you know what's illustrated by that? Look at Iraq and Afghanistan. We tried to make them modeled after the United States of America. And that gave them freedom. But it won't work. You know why? Because they're bound by the religion of Islam. And that is not a religion of freedom. And therefore, the nation falls apart because the freedom given will result in a degenerate society. They will never flourish in that. America was blessed and protected because of one simple truth. Those that framed our government had been set free by Jesus Christ from their sin. They knew what true liberty was because they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. They knew that in order for our nation to thrive, we must have a place where the preaching and teaching of true spiritual liberty is free to be done. Now, it should be noted that before 1776, in the 1740s and 50s, what took place in America? Who would know? I don't know. Some people might not know this. What took place in America between the 1740s and 1750s? The Great Awakening. George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards both preached throughout the nation, and there was a great revival in America, also in England, but in America, there was a great spiritual awakening to the truth of the gospel, not just to religion, but to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many thousands of people were saved. The second great awakening took place from 1790 to 1830, after the Revolutionary War. A direct result of freedom instituted throughout the land. But let's take a look at what our country was founded upon. And this morning, I have some quotes for some of our founding fathers. The purpose of people coming to America was not just so they could make money. From the time the colonies were under British rule, people came to freely practice their religion. The Puritans came in 1620 to Plymouth Rock, so that they might have freedom of religion. They weren't free to practice their religion outside of the Church of England in Britain. They were persecuted. They were put in prison. They came to America so that they might have freedom to worship God. Thousands upon thousands of others did the same over the years. Still, there was not true freedom of religion until after the United States was founded in 1777. If you were a Baptist or a Quaker during the time before the founding of our country, you were persecuted in the colonies and you were labeled a dissenter, very much like John Bunyan was in England during the same time period. the founding fathers were Christians. Now let's take a look at some of them this morning. John Adams is a signer of the Declaration of Independence, was one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights, and the second president of the United States. This is a quote from him. "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Without religion, this world would be something not fit to be mentioned in polite company. I mean, hell. The Christian religion is above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world." John Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States, "My hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot cavil or quibble away, evade or object to, the whole tenor of his conduct by which he sometimes positively asserted and at others countenance permits his disciples in asserting that he was God." Meaning that he had his faith in Jesus Christ. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, "I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins." Josiah Bartlett, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, called upon the people of New Hampshire, he was the governor of New Hampshire, to confess before God their aggravated transgressions and to implore his pardon and forgiveness through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. Gunning Bedford, a signer of the Constitution, "To the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be ascribed all honor and dominion forever. Amen." Elias Boydnot, framer of the Bill of Rights, "Let us enter on this important business under the idea that we are Christians, on whom the eyes of the world are now turned. Let us earnestly call and beseech him, for Christ's sake, to preside in our councils. We can only depend on the all-powerful influence of the Spirit of God, whose divine aid and assistance is because us as a Christian people must devoutly to implore. Therefore, I move that some minister of the gospel be requested to attend this Congress every morning in order to open the meeting with prayer," and to which they do to this day. The House of Representatives and the Senate is opened with prayer by the chaplain of those bodies every single day because of this. Jacob Broom, a signer of the Constitution and a legislator, he said this to his son James while attending Princeton University, "I flatter myself you will be that I wish, but don't be so much flatter as to relax of your application. Don't forget to be a Christian. I have said much to you on this head, and I hope an indelible impression is made." Charles Carroll, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, "On the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for salvation, and on his merits, not on the works I have done in obedience to his precepts." John Dickinson, a signer of the Constitution, "Rendering thanks to my Creator for my existence and station among his works, for my birth in a country enlightened by the gospel and enjoying freedom, for all his other kindnesses to him I resign myself, humbly confiding in his goodness and in his mercy through Jesus Christ, for the events of eternity." And he's trusting in Christ for his salvation. Gabriel Duval was a delegate at the Continental Congress and the Constitutional Convention. "I resign my soul into the hands of the Almighty who gave it in humble hopes of his mercy through our Savior Jesus Christ." Benjamin Franklin, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, "As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw or is likely to see." Now, that is where earlier in life. Now, this is his eulogy that he wrote for himself. "The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here. Food for the worms. Yet the work itself shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more beautiful edition, corrected and amended by the author." So Diaz don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the life after he did. And very probably in other writings that he made, came to a knowledge of salvation at the end of his days. Elbridge Gerry, signer of the Declaration of Independence, called on the state of Massachusetts to pray that with one heart and voice may prostrate ourselves at the throne of heavenly grace and present to our great benefactor sincere and unfeigned thanks for his infinite goodness and mercy towards us from our birth to the present moment, for having, above all things, illuminated us by the gospel of Jesus Christ, presenting to our view the happy prospect of a blessed immortality. Alexander Hamilton, a signer of the Constitution. This was following his duel with Aaron Burr. He died within 24 hours of being shot in a duel. And General Hamilton said with this reflection, "I went to the field determined not to take his life. He repeated his disavowal of all intention to hurt Mr. Burr and the anguish of his mind in recollecting what had passed and his humble hope of forgiveness from his God. I recurred to the topic of the divine compassion, the freedom of pardon in the Redeemer Jesus to perishing sinners. That grace, my dear General, which brings salvation is rich, rich, yes," interrupted he, "it is rich grace. And on that grace continued I. A sinner has the highest encouragement to repose his confidence because it is tender to him upon the surest foundation. The Scripture testifying that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Here the General, letting go my hand, which he had held for that moment I sat down at his bedside, clasped his hands together and looking up towards heaven said with emphasis, "I have a tender reliance," this is what Alexander Hamilton said, "I have a tender reliance on the mercy of the Almighty through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ," before he died. John Hancock, signer of the Declaration of Independence, we know that name very well. He called on the entire state to pray that universal happiness may be established in the world, that all may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole earth be filled with his glory. John Hart, signer of the Declaration of Independence. "Thanks be given unto Almighty God, therefore, and knowing that it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that the judgment," Hebrews 9:27. "Principally, I give and recommend my soul into the hands of Almighty God, who gave it, and my body to the earth to be buried in a decent and Christian-like manner, to receive the same again at the general resurrection of the mighty power of God." Patrick Henry, a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, said this, "Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. Whoever thou art, remember this, that in thy sphere practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others. The great pillars of all government and of social life, virtue, morality, and religion, this is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. This is all the inheritance I give to my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them what one which will make them rich indeed." And one last one, Thomas Jefferson, signer of the Declaration of Independence, also diplomat, governor of Virginia. "I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be, sincerely attached to his doctrines and in preference to all others. I am a real Christian, that is to say, I disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ." These are the ones, not exhaustive, and I have a whole stack. These are people that were leaders of our nation, our founding fathers, all giving testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. But we're not a Christian nation. We weren't founded. We were founded on political reasons. Why we were founded was so that we could be free to worship and serve God. Amen. That is what our nation is. That is the foundation of America. They weren't deists. They weren't Freemasons. This is what's being taught today. They believe that only true liberty was in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8:2. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. And that is why they founded our nation. That is why they framed our Constitution. That is why they framed the Bill of Rights. And these instruments have been hijacked by other people who have other means in mind to be free to do whatever we want. Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Jesus Christ makes us free. This nation was founded underneath the principles of the Bible, was founded upon the Bible, not just as a source, but founded upon its every word as a nation. There are 195 countries in the world, or 197, if you include Taiwan and other countries that people don't choose to recognize. 120 of them have religious liberty articles, but many of them do not observe them. For example, Egypt has freedom of religion articles. However, the official state religion is Islam. And Islam, by its very nature, is non-tolerant of other religions. And there is great persecution among Christians in Egypt to this day. We could be living in a country such as China, where the gospel is illegal. We could be living in a place like Cuba and communism, where the gospel is illegal. We could be living in a country like North Korea, where the gospel is illegal. We need to be thankful that we live in America that was founded upon these principles, and we need to thank God for our nation. And we thank every single person in here today who has fought for our freedom. But what do we see today? We are seeing our freedoms eroded again. Once again, our freedoms are being taken away. The freedom of America, the freedom that the religious founders and the founding fathers and the religion that they had, the gospel that they had, they never intended for our nation to be a nation that kills unborn babies. It was never intended as a nation to allow sodomy to run rampant. It was not a nation founded to allow unrighteousness and wickedness and alcohol and drugs to run everywhere. This was not their intention. But why has this happened? Because people are living without Christ. And when you have freedom without any moral compass, you have debauchery and anarchy. Our nation was not founded on rebellion. Our nation was founded, and why we fought a war was they believed in the moral obligation they had to God to make our nation free. Not just to a nation, but to God, because this is how God intended people to live. And that the United States of America is called the Great Experiment. This is the only time ever in the history of humanity that a group of people have come together to form a moral and just God-based government on their own. Only time in history. God founded Israel's government. It wasn't their idea. They either accepted or rejected it, but America was the first country ever in the history of the world. It is unique in this, that a group of people came together and brought themselves under the morals and the guidance of God voluntarily, so that we might have freedom. And we wonder, now we see why our nation is so blessed. Our nation is a blessed nation because of what we are founded upon. I'm telling you today, we are not being blessed because of what we're doing today as a nation. We need to pray, just as Nehemiah did. The gates are being burned with fire. What was founded upon is being destroyed. People are living without Christ. Our leaders are without Christ. Our teachers and universities and schools are without Christ. What I just read today would shock many public school teachers because they were taught something different. You can take this and, you know, you can't argue this. These are what these people said of themselves. This isn't even taught in Christian curriculums very well either. It is, but not as definite as this. What are we to do? If someone does not know what true liberty is, then they will only emulate what they are living. So many people are living bound and in sin. They do not know there is a way out. That's why they're free. They don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. Nothing wrong with any of that. But what does God say about it? They do not know that there's a hope for their situation. That is why we tell our children, America, that's why they tell our children, America is not a Christian nation. America was founded on rebellion. It was founded on idealism. And it was not founded, but it was not founded on this. Because that is a nation founded without God. Why is that? Because many in our nation are without God and without Jesus Christ. And there is an active push to push God out of our land. America was founded on what these men saw in the Bible and in their relationship with God. Freedom of the soul, freedom to live free of vice, freedom to live freely to do the will of God. This was their aim and their purpose. This is the key to seeing America's freedom and liberty to return. How? To return to Bible preaching. To return to standing boldly in what God says in His Word. To tell others of Christ. We need another great awakening in America. We need another great awakening in America. Read an article, and there was a contemporary Christian artist, that she believes that through the mysticism and through rock and roll, we can have a third great awakening in America. She's going to be waiting a while. Doesn't happen that way. We need to return to holiness, but oh, people who are preach on holiness of God in the Bible are crucified, are shunned. We're extremists! And labeled extremists by our own nation. Now, I think you would all agree that what's happening on the left coast is extreme. And that this week, I don't want to get into politics, but the Supreme Court, a justice is retiring, and they're all worried about what the president's going to choose. And you know what many of the Democrats said when they're on Twitter? Said, I'm worried about Roe v. Wade. Praise God! Get rid of that heinous murder of babies in America. And I've been praying. I think we have a chance. First time in 40 years to see it overturned. So we're worried about the civil rights of gay people. Righteousness exalteth the nation. You want to see how many nations have been wiped off the face of the earth because of sodomy? The Roman Empire was wiped off the face of the earth because of that. Should we love them? Yes. Should we witness to them so they may get saved out of their wicked lifestyle? Yes, absolutely. But we should not tolerate, make it legal, and put them on the same level as people who are married as man and woman. Should not do that. Are they free to do that? Yes, they're free to do that, but they shouldn't have the same amount of rights as everybody else. Because it's wickedness. It's of the devil. But Pastor, that's hate speech. Tell that to God. That's what He calls it. Not saying that we hate gay people, we hate their sin, but we love them. We want to see them saved out of that. And to be honest with you, many times people that have witnessed to them, they said, I'm so thankful that I've been saved out of that. So thankful because they're miserable. Because they know it's wrong. We need to pray as Christians. We need to be vocal as Christians. This is what our nation is founded upon. But a lot of Christian people think our nation was not founded as a Christian nation. Well, it was influenced. The Bible is the rock solid foundation. We sang some hymns today. We see the Battle Hymn of the Republic. This dates back to the Revolutionary War. The last verse, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. As He died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Free why? Free like Jesus made them. Free from sin. And we see, my country, 'tis of thee. We look at the verses. Verse 3, let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees. Sweet freedom song, let mortal tongues awake, let all the breathe partake. That rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. And we go on, we read through the verses. Land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. We love, oh, that's great. For last verse, our Father's God to thee. Author of what? Liberty. To thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might. Great God, our King. That is what our nation is founded upon. That is what many have fought and died for, is the freedom of our land. We look through the history of the world over the last several hundred years. America, God has used America to save the world from tyranny on multiple occasions. In World War I, World War II, communism, the Cold War. Do you realize that because the United States of America, communism is dying throughout the world? Because of the battles that we fought and because of the sacrifice of many people who will never know their name. God has used America to do that. We're not the policemen of the world, but we are the bastion of liberty that God has used on many of occasions. So this morning, will we commit to God to not let our country's light go out among the darkness of this world? Is there another nation in our world right now that has the freedoms that we have? No. You go over to Europe, go over to Germany and some of these other countries. I was talking to somebody that you need a permit for everything. You need a permit to have a certain type of car over there. In America, you can have any type of car you want. As long as it runs, you can have it, right? As long as it has a windshield, right? And different things like that. Doesn't matter if you want to ride a motorcycle or whatever, but you have to have a special permit in a lot of these European countries. A lot of people can't afford to live there. People are afraid to go outside their doors because of violence in many places. Why? They weren't founded on the Bible. They tried at different times, but they weren't founded on the Word of God. Our nation was. It's not something that our country can turn its back on lightly. Our nation is turning its back on the blessing of God, the protection of God, turning its back on it, and there will be a heavy price to pay. Oh, America will always be there. For the Romans said the same thing. They believed that they would be around forever. Are they around today? Well, they were around for 1,000 years. But they were founded as a republic. Yes, they had false religion, but they founded one on freedom, but with one problem. Freedom, but not spiritual freedom. And eventually destroyed them. Our nation was founded on spiritual freedom. And we should not let the light of the gospel go out in America. We need to be seeing churches planted, going to areas that people don't have any churches. Listen, pastor, everybody has a place to go to church. You're wrong. In America, there are places that people have to drive 3 and 4 hours to go to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. And I'm being very broad in that. I'm not saying independent Baptist church. I'm saying any type of gospel-preaching church. I was on where I grew up in New York. All for that top part of the state. There's 3 churches that preach the gospel. 3. In about a 200-square-mile radius. Over 100,000 people, 3 churches. Well, isn't that what most cities have? How many Bible-believing churches do we have here? Bible-preaching churches? I don't really know. I haven't counted. If you want to be broad about it, probably 10 that preach the gospel. But how many people live in Killeen? Almost 170,000, I think, now. We need to bring the gospel to Killeen. We need to bring the gospel to Fort Hood. We need to bring the gospel to the far reaches of America. See, churches are closing faster than they're being started. The number of churches is being reduced. Will we stand and mourn? But instead of wringing our hands, what did Nehemiah do? He did something. God led him to do something. He did something. He didn't say, oh, it's just terrible. What are we going to do about it? He did something. Will we do something? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what it is to be a Christian. You've never heard the gospel of Christ before. You don't know what it is to be spiritually free. You can know Him this morning. You can come and be set free from your sin and your shame and your guilt because Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, was 100% God, yet 100% man, lived a perfect life, didn't sin one time, and was our substitute on the cross. He suffered and bled and died for you and your sin. He made a way for you to be saved from your sin, a way for you to be set free from your fetters and your chains and your prison of sin by simply calling upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To save you from your sin, to save you from hell, so that you may go to be with Him for all of eternity. He will save you this morning. If you've never done that, if you've never called upon Jesus to save you from your sin, never trusted Him completely to save you from your sin, I encourage you to do that this morning. We would love to pray with you this morning, show you from the Bible how you can be saved during invitation time. Won't you come and accept Him this morning? As Christians this morning, will we make a commitment that we're going to do something, that we're going to pray, that we're going to witness, that we're going to see our nation return to its founding roots, and to see these sinful things eliminated from our nation, not because it was forced upon them, but that people would be saved and turn from their sin. That's what we need. Oh, we need to outlaw these things. Force people to do right. Never works. Then it turns into tyranny because people don't want to choose that. Our nation was founded on religious liberty because people freely turn to God. Will we witness, and when people are saved, they want to turn to God. We need to see our nation return to that. We need to witness, see people saved in our nation. When revivals happened in the Great Awakening, bars and pubs and ale houses, they went out of business because people didn't go drink anymore. People didn't smoke anymore. People didn't do those things. They built new churches because the churches couldn't hold them. That can happen again in America. But so many people believe it can. They're more concerned with the other things that are going on. They have revival services and they see 10 people get saved. Oh, revival's happening. That should be happening every Sunday. Amen? It's better than it was, but true revival is when we see hundreds and thousands of people get saved and there's a change in a community. We can see that happen again. Will we pray for it? Will we be a part of it? Revival begins with us, with a decision that we make to do the best that we can, do our part in seeing our nation return to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for today. I thank You, Lord, for all that You have shown us from Your Word. We thank You for the history of our land. We thank You for the history of our nation. We thank You for the founding principles that it was founded upon, Your Word and Thy precious gospel, the freedom that comes in it. And Lord, they all said, one after the other, that if we turn away from Your Word and turn away from the gospel, our nation is doomed. And Lord, our nation is turning away. There are some that still believe, but many, Lord, are living without Christ, living bound to their sin. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to see them saved, to see people brought to Yourself. I pray that You would bless us and help us, Lord, in that. And I pray, if any here this morning, that they are not saved, that they would come to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.